Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Further with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Monday, August 9th newsletter. In tonight's newsletter, I'm going to keep it fairly simple. I'm just going to briefly go over a couple market indexes. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about just some trade ideas from the watch list. And really, that's what's been working well in this market, is trading a lot of individual stocks. But anyway, I'm going to keep tonight's market index analysis very simple. No reason to overcomplicate things, especially after Steve Nelson's comprehensive weekend newsletter. And, you know, nothing changed today. So let's go and get started. First off, a brief recap of today's action. The market was once again higher today. At the close, the S&P and Dow gained about 0.5%, while the NASDAQ and index gained 0.7%. Commodity-wise, crude oil gained 90 cents, while gold fell $3. And, of course, the U.S. dollar was higher today. The U.S. dollar, in my opinion, is really something to watch here because I think it's getting close to an oversold bounce here, and it may have started today, but I'll cover that below. By the way, today was the lightest volume day of the year, guys. So I put that into perspective. We are in the summer doldrums. Of course, tomorrow is the big Fed day. They're going to release the FOMC statement at 2:15 Eastern Standard Time. Obviously, the Fed isn't going to change rates, but it's what they say. You know, are they going to address their recent comments about economic activity, which obviously hasn't been very robust lately, as we know? And, you know, are they going to say anything about monetizing the debt? I've heard some rumblings about that. So, again, it's the markets. It's not what they say. It's the market's reaction to their statement. And even further complicating that, sometimes the market's initial reaction isn't the true reaction, it's the second reaction a day or two later. So again, we'll see what happens. But anyway, as far as tomorrow, I think there'll be some little bit of action in the morning, then I think it will die down in the morning, and you know, especially the hour or two before the FOMC statement. So if you have something to do before that, I would go ahead and take care of it because I don't think the market's going to do much before then. Then after the FOMC statement, generally the market's quite volatile, as you know. But as far as the index charts, what you'll see below is, you know, the market indexes bottomed in July. They've had a nice rally off the July lows, which was almost a perfect 38% retracement for all the major indexes. So we've had a nice logical rally up from July 1st. But the rally has been on declining volume, and there's potential rising wedge patterns, which is something that is definitely a negative or something to keep an eye on. So we'll see what happens with that. So let's go and take a look at these charts. The first chart or table, item number 2, just shows you the economic releases for this week. Obviously, the big news tomorrow is the FOMC rate decision at 2:15 Eastern Standard Time. And when that's posted, I'll also post their statement on the trading community. So if you're around, just check in, and I'll post that right after it's released. The first chart below, item number 3, is the daily chart of the S&P 500. And I also have the VIX below as well, as well as the MACD and a couple stochastics indicators. And first off, you can see how the S&P 500 had a nice rally from the July lows. But again, the volume has been declining all the way up. Obviously, price isn't the most important. The S&P is above the 200-day moving average. It's had a nice rally up here, and you can see there's a horizontal resistance up around this area too. So the S&P has had a nice move up here, but the volume, declining volume on the move up is definitely one concern. So again, does that mean the market has to retrace all the way down if it breaks this wedge? No, but it's something to watch. Clearly, support on the up. In the short term is the uptrend line of this wedge. So that's what we'll be watching on our end. And I would watch it on the 60-minute charts or the 30-minute charts. That's where it shows up best, okay? Again, could this pattern form into something else, such as an inverse head and shoulder pattern, etc.? Yes, definitely. Steve Nelson addressed that in a weekend newsletter. But again, I don't want to overcomplicate it tonight. Let's just see what happens tomorrow. Also, the VIX, as you can see on here, is tightening. You can see it's at the bottom of its Bollinger Bands. The Bollinger Bands are starting to come together. So there could be a pretty fast, hard move coming here very soon, either to the upside or the downside. Given that it's a rising wedge pattern with some negative divergence, wouldn't be surprised if we have a pullback here, though. So, again, we'll see. The key support is that uptrend line. Chart number four is the daily chart of the S&P 500 again, but it goes back to the March 2009 lows. I also have the 1334 exponential moving averages on here. I've noted where they've crossed over in the past. They tend to be a trending moving average set. And anyway, nothing new on this chart. It just shows you a little longer term picture. Chart number five is a 60-minute chart of the S&P 500. Here you can see the wedge a little more defined. Again, last week when we sold off, we found support right at that uptrend line. So that's the support area. We have multiple points of negative divergence on the rising wedge, as you can see via the MACD. It's made three lower highs, while the S&P has made three higher highs. Again, hence rising wedge with negative divergence. So if the S&P sells down and it breaks that wedge, I think you could short it. Okay. Again, because it's an uptrend line, it's not a horizontal line, the price is not an exact point. Right now it looks to be around 1120 or so. But again, this will be what to watch for if the market starts to sell down. Because it's a wedge, if we do sell down, it could be pretty quick. Otherwise, you know, definitely have room to move to the upside. You can see there's a resistance area around 1130. If we break that, we have room to go to the top of the wedge. So again, for now, we're in this wedge pattern, and that's what we're watching. Chart number six is a 60-minute chart of the Dow. Again, you see the same pattern, little rising wedge with some negative divergence. So again, we'll see what happens tomorrow after the market's reaction to the FOMC statement. Chart number seven is a 60-minute chart of the NASDAQ. Now the NASDAQ doesn't look as so much like a wedge though. So this will be a little more bullish. You can see it's more of an ascending triangle pattern. It has uptrend support at the uptrend line around 2280 or so. But instead of a wedge pattern, it's more of an ascending triangle pattern. So it's not mirroring the S&P and Dow. So just wanted to show that. So really, guys, that does it for the index charts. Again, I wanted to keep it simple. No reason to overcomplicate it. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Now let's look at a couple indicators. Chart number seven is one of my favorite intermediate indicators. It's the NYSI summation indicator with the 5-3 stochastics overlay and the five-period RSI. And the stochastics on this chart, they crossed up in early June. That was a little bit early for the market before it bottomed, but they've been moving up higher ever since. Finally, they're getting closer to crossing over. They have yet to cross down. In order for this indicator to produce a sell signal for the stochastics, the 5-3 stochastics, you need the percent K to cross below the percent D, and that hasn't happened yet, but they're touching, so that could happen any time, so that's something to watch. Otherwise, another sell indicator would be the 5-period RSI at the top crossing below 70%. And that tends to be a little later indicator. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not. But it looks like that indicator still has quite a ways to go before that was to cross down. So anyway, just point out that it's finally getting up to, it's finally overbought. Hasn't yet produced a sell signal, but it's up here and it's something to watch. One other thing is I stated above in my comments, my written comments, that all of our intermediate indicators have been on buy signals for weeks to some of them a couple months now. And so logically the market has moved higher. And also a lot of our long-term indicators went on sell signals in May and June, and many of them started going back on buy signals in July and some of them in August. And one more long-term indicator went back on a buy signal today. That's my S&P mechanical system, which goes back to 1961. It's item number 9. It shows you the table here. And this is a long-only system. Basically, it either goes long the S&P 500, and when it gets a sell signal, it goes into cash where it earns interest. Now, obviously, in today's market, you don't earn interest on your money. I mean, you earn basically nothing. But in the past, you used to earn interest, and if you study the table in depth here, you can see I show the times when it was in cash. Sometimes it was in cash for a couple years or 9 months or 3 months or sometimes as little as 2 weeks or a week. And so the indicator or this system went on a sell, basically it went into cash on June 5th, or actually not June 5th, but July 12th of this year went into cash when the S&P 500 hit 1077. And it went back long today on the open at 11:23 for the S&P 500. So the system, since 1961, would have returned about 79 times your money. That is versus 16 times your money via buying and holding. So it beats buying and holding by quite a bit, what your broker would tell you to do. And it catches trends. It generally catches major trends on bull markets. If you study the signals, the average signals tend to be about a year or so. But again, every once in a while, you'll have a signal that lasts for maybe a month or a couple weeks. But the average signal is about a year. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that it went back into the market today. So next, let's look at interest rates. Chart number 10 is a chart of the TNX. That's the 10-year Treasury yield. And again, I talked about this in my weekend commodity newsletter. It's one thing I've been keeping an eye on. These long-term interest rates continue to dive. They were down a little bit today, but they've been in a steady downtrend. And it definitely some worries there. You know, are we seeing deflationary forces? Why are we seeing these rates going lower? So maybe the Fed will shed some light on that tomorrow. One theory I heard was that the bond market is anticipating the Fed announcing a new program of monetizing the debt, which, you know, obviously would cause rates to go lower again. So we'll see if that is justified tomorrow or not. But, you know, with rates going continually lower, that has been one thing that's been supporting the market at least a little bit, because you don't get any return on your money in the bank, as you know, on CDs or bank accounts. So money's had a flight to the market to in an attempt to gain some interest. Of course, longer term, I don't think that's will help the market. You know, just look at Japan. Their interest rates are 0% for many, many, many years. And look at their stock market. It topped out in 1990, and it's still in a downtrend 20 years later. So anyway, I'm keeping an eye on these long-term interest rates, because I think that's really important. Next, the U.S. dollar. I think this is something to watch here. Chart number 11 is a daily chart of the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is up today 0.38%. Again, that's not enough. One day up is not enough to end a downtrend. You can see the dollar has been in a very tight downtrend channel since it topped out in early June. It had a fifth wave move up at that time with negative divergence. And it's had a very nice move down here. But you can see it's right around the 200-day moving average, which is in red. It's just below it. But again, this is a support area. I think the dollar could start some kind of oversold rally anytime here. I think either today could have been the first day, or it could come anytime. The dollar is oversold enough, and there's some positive divergence on the MACD histogram below. You can see I have it noted. So I think the dollar is getting close here to an oversold bounce. And if that dollar bounces, I think that will be a reason for the market to pull back, because, as you know, the market's generally been on an uptrend since the time the dollar's been on a downtrend here. So that may pull the market down. So resistance for the dollar is the downtrend line, as well as watch the U.S. dollar S&P ratio at the top. I have a nice, well-defined downtrend line in that ratio. If we break that ratio trend line, I think that'll start it. So keep an eye on the dollar in these currencies. The next chart, chart number 12, is a 240-minute chart of the U.S. dollar futures. And again, I showed this in my commodity newsletter. You can see this rising or this falling wedge here with positive divergence on the MACD. And you can see we broke out of the wedge today. So on the 240-minute chart, it looks like to me the dollar wants to bounce here. So if that continues to follow through, I think it could pull the market back. But again, the dollar obviously will be affected by tomorrow's FOMC statement, so we'll keep an eye on it. Next, chart number 13 is EUO. That's the Euro Ultra Short ETF. And I think this is a low-risk trade. I talked about this last week on the trading community, and I put it on the watch list. The EUO ETF bounced off the 200-day moving average, which is that green moving average you've seen, and it bounced up a little bit today. The volume was light, as you can see, but again, there's some positive divergence on the MACD histogram, and it's near support area where I think it could at least put in a bounce. Basically, EUO will move relative to the U.S. dollar, since it's inverse to the euro. So I think this is a low-risk buy with a tight stop below the 200-day moving average. Chart number 14 is a 60-minute chart of EUO. You can see it's in a nice bullish falling wedge here. Last week I mentioned that it was a low-risk buy at the bottom of the wedge. Some of you bought it, I know. I bought it personally, and I still own it. And today, it rallied up to the top of the wedge. Didn't break out, but again, it's something to watch here. Maybe it needs one more pullback within a wedge, or maybe we bust out from here. But either way, I think it's a low-risk entry around in here. So that does it for the indexes, guys. Now let's move to the last part of this newsletter. Item number 15, I'm just going to talk about some trade ideas and the watch list. The watch list, we've had a lot of good trade ideas, long trade ideas, and they've been doing very well. That's what's been working in this market, is just trading a lot of individual stocks, taking volume with nice patterns. Now, in the short term, we still have a lot of longs in the watch list, so I'd be pretty cautious about taking any new longs here. Maybe move your stops up on existing longs or take some profits. Because the market, again, if those wedges play out, we could be getting close to some kind of pullback here, maybe a swift pullback in the short term. You don't want to give up all those gains, okay, guys? But what's been working is playing longs and nice setups, and we've had plenty of them. So make sure to utilize that resources. So let's just go over a few of these. Chart number 16 is EUO, that 60-minute chart. Again, I just talked about this above. This is on the watch list. So next, chart number 17 is Cisco. Had it on the watch list. And it broke out last week. You can see it's doing well, and it followed through nicely today. So this Cisco had potentially an inverse head and shoulder pattern, which measured up to around the 27 area. Nice percentage move if that occurs. With today's move, though, just to be on the safe side, I would take some profits, maybe sell a third of your position or a half, and move your stops up to 24, up to your entry. That way you cannot take a loss in this position, and you'll be guaranteed a gain. Okay. Chart number 18 is Monsanto. I had it on the watch list since early June, and this was a monster trade. I know some of you caught it. I personally did. Anyway, it's finally pulling back, guys. So those of you who missed the first round, I think eventually there will be a good low-risk entry on the downside. Again, it's too early to buy it. Don't buy it yet, but this will be one to watch. But it's finally starting to pull back. Chart number 19 is Walmart. Hit it on the watch list. There's a potential inverse head and shoulder pattern with potential targets above. It broke out today, but notice how it stopped just shy of that 200-day moving average in green. And so, again, if you're long this, just make sure to have your stop in place at 50-50. That's a pretty good, you're not risking too much, you're risking a couple bucks. So, etc. What I've noticed is there's a lot of these inverse head and shoulder patterns in the market. So while the major indexes have these rising wedge patterns, maybe the indexes, if they break the wedges at the downside, maybe they'll only have a slight pullback. Because a lot of these charts, again, have these inverse head and shoulder patterns. And if these patterns play out ultimately, I don't see how the market will have a really deep pullback. But we'll see. We'll react to the market when it does. Chart number 20 is ENER. It's been on the watch list since July 14th. And the original breakout was $5. It broke out, pulled back, but it held support. And today it really followed through on news. So not sure if anyone still owns it, but congratulations if you did. Anyway, move your stops up to 505 and maybe take some profits. We're getting up near our first target at $6. If we can take that out, I think it's going higher again, up maybe even up to 7. Chart number 21 is ACM. This is a trade idea over the weekend and last week. Had an inverse head and shoulder pattern. Again, you can see these recurring patterns. It broke out today on monster volume, as you can see. Hope some of you caught it. Anyway, you can see how it's stopping just below the 200-day moving average. That's the first sticking point. If it could get above that, then it can go up to its major move up around 29.50 to 29. Chart number 22 is DNN. It's on the watch list. It's a bull pennant pattern. Again, it's hard to define resistance, but it's one to keep an eye on. And chart number 23 is the 60-minute view of DNN, this triangle pattern. So resistance is the downtrend line of the pattern, the upper trend line. Chart number 24 is REX. It's one of our few shorts on the watch list. It broke down last week. Today it didn't do much, but again, we have stops in place. Chart number 25 is MIR. It's another short idea that's on the watch list. It hasn't broken down yet, but you can see it's got the support trend line just over that 1050. Or if that breaks down, I could see maybe a quick breakdown to around the 9 area. Chart number 26 is PWRD. It was on a watch list last week. It's still on the watch list. It broke out nicely last week, and it's pulled in. I suggested taking some profits in the first move. So far, it's okay, but again, just have your stops in place. You know, have them up at least to your entry so you can't take a loss if the market decides to sell off. And hopefully he locked in some gains on that first break. Try number 27 is NZ. It broke out a couple weeks back. It pulled all the way back to previous breakpoint, which is support, and now it's trying to rebound off of it. So let's hope it moves up from here. If you still own it, put your stops just below the recent low here at 1482. Chart number 28 is MEE. That's a coal stock. It broke out on Friday last week. Pulled back a little bit today. But again, the pattern's nice. I would like to see over time if it can get to the 200-day moving average. Again, have your stops in place. We have a stop here noted. Chart number 29 is INCY. It's on the watch list. Finally, it's moving up here. It continues to play out. Our stop now is at our entry point. But again, you know, if you want to, take some profits. It's 65 cents above the break point. That way you won't give up all your gains if the market decides to turn around. Now, the last few charts are just some new trade ideas that are on the watch list. And some of these are, I have the stops set really tight. So if they don't work out, you don't risk much. Chart number 30 is Busey. Resistance is 64. And if it takes that out, put your stop at 62, so you're only risking $2 on a $64 stock with a potential target of $70. So basically, you risk $2 with the potential to make $6. So that's a good risk reward of 3 to 1. That's very good odds. And chart number 31 is WRES. It's still on a watch list. Our stop is at break even. Chart number 32 is STLD. And our stop is set here, as you can see. Let's hope it can follow through. Chart number 33 is HK. Nice little bull flag pattern here. Again, resistance is 1750. And we're setting a stop at 17. So you risk 50 cents with the potential to make a buck to $2. So that's decent risk reward. And chart number 34 is WDR. Interesting stock here if it can follow through. Target areas above. And chart number 35 is FAS. That's the financial 3x ETF. Potential inverse head and shoulder pattern. Initial stop we have marked as 23, but resistance is this trend line over 24, 25 with a target of 29. So again, good risk reward if it breaks out or not. And the last one, HEAT, is another trade idea. So as you can see, these trade ideas have been doing well. Hopefully some of you are taking advantage of them. If you are, again, be disciplined. Use your stops. Have stops in place and take profits along the way. Anyway, let's see what happens tomorrow. Have a great evening. Talk to you later.